Yeah, good morning. So like Alex said, my name is Johan. I'm married to Candace. I'll introduce her properly just now. And similar to Alec, I'm also not a natural at speaking in front of people. But unlike him, I didn't get to do private orals with the teacher in school. So the first few years of school, I just refused to do orals. And the teachers had to speak to my parents to force me to do it. But God can do the impossible, and He can use the most unlikely people. So today, you get to witness just that. So yeah, those of you that did the Foundations course last term might remember that I did the session on time with God. And this morning, I want to build on that. And I'm going to share, the title of what I'm going to share is Walking with God. And I'm going to start with the same example I used in the Foundations course. So Candace, you can come up. So this is my wife, Candace. And we've been married for nearly 5 years now. And I'm going to share a little bit more about our marriage. So I'm quite a busy person. So I don't really get time for things like date nights and us times and things like that. But at least we do chat. Like this morning in the car, we chatted a little bit. And sometimes while prepping dinner, we'll have a quick chat through some practical stuff. And if I'm not too tired in the evenings, maybe I'll have a quick check-in with her for a minute or two. Oh yeah, and if I'm really struggling with stuff, I'll give her a few minutes of my time to ask her for help. So yeah, I think overall we're doing not too bad, right? Yeah. Now I don't think you need to be a marriage counselor to see that this is not a healthy picture of marriage. And the Bible teaches us that marriage is actually a picture of our relationship with Jesus. And if this is what our marriage looked like, then most likely we would not be standing here this morning. And yet so many believers settle for this type of relationship with God, when our relationship with Him is actually far more important than a relationship with a spouse. Now for us to have a healthy relationship, we need to walk together on a daily basis, and we need to share our hearts with one another and share our thoughts, emotions, feelings. And we need to make times where we give us one another our undivided attention without any other distractions that's pulling us away. And similarly, this is what our relationship with the Lord should look like. Thank you, Lithia. You can sit down. Hopefully our marriage looks a bit more like this than the previous example. So, yeah, so today I'm going to look at what it means to walk with God. And I'm going to look at Hebrews 11, which is the well-known chapter on faith heroes. And because these are people that walked with God, and so we can learn a lot from them. Now, Hebrews 10 finishes by saying that we, believers, are not those that turn away from God and are destroyed. We are those with faith and are being saved. And then Hebrews 11 starts by defining this faith. And I'm going to read it to you, if you can put it on the screen. So faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. So that's the definition of faith. But why is faith important? Now you can skip to Hebrews 11 verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I would argue that faith is quite important. And not only should we believe that God exists, as believers, that's the obvious one, but we should also believe that God rewards those that earnestly seek Him, or diligently seek Him. And that requires faith, because it's having confidence in something we might not be able to see right now. And but what does it look like to earnestly or diligently seek God? So I'm going to look at some of the faith heroes in Hebrews 11. And the first one that they speak about is Abel. Now from Genesis 4, we know that Abel was a shepherd, and his brother Cain was essentially a vegetable farmer. And at one point in time, they both brought an offering to God from some of their produce. And then we read that Abel and his offering was accepted, And but Cain and his offering was not accepted, was rejected. And just looking at it at face value, it might seem confusing. Like, well, what's up with that? Like, is God more into a banting diet than a vegan diet? Or like, but we just look at it from the outside, and the Lord sees the heart and the motives. And if we look in Hebrews 11 verse 4, and you can put that up, Hebrews 11 verse 4, one more one. Yes, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he's dead. And so it's interesting to know, to see that both these men, somehow they knew that they needed to bring God an offering. I don't know if they saw it from their parents or maybe God spoke to them directly, but the heart by which they brought the offering was very different. Now, for Cain, it was just a matter of compulsion, and he just brought God some of his leftovers, a frot pampoen and a stick in a skoen. But Abel, by faith, brought God the very best of what he had. And now today, we're no longer required to bring God burnt offerings. We can keep our braai vleis to ourselves. But we still ought to give God the best of what we have. Now, often we have stewardship teachings, and we speak about tithing, giving God the first and the best of our finances. So I'm not going to say much about that. But even more precious than our money is our time. Now, we live in a society where everyone is extremely busy, and it's very difficult to fit everything in a 24-hour day. And like Cain and Abel, somehow we know that we need to bring God an offering of our time. And we like to call it our quiet time. But just because we bring God a time offering doesn't mean it's an offering that's accepted by Him. Now, if we just come to Him out of compulsion, just to tick a box, and we just give Him some of the leftovers of what we have, essentially, we're doing exactly the same that Cain did. But going back to Hebrews 11, verse 6, now if you believe that God rewards those that earnestly seek Him, if you believe that spending time with God, seeking God, is the most rewarding thing you can do in life, then it doesn't matter how busy you are, you will make that the top priority in your life. And you will, in faith, believe that somehow, perhaps supernaturally, God will give you the time to do everything else that's also important. But if you want to walk with God the way that Abel did, you need to be willing to give the best of yourself. Time, money, everything else. So the next person we read about in Hebrews 11 is an interesting character. It's Enoch. And all we see in Genesis is that Enoch was a man that walked faithfully with God. And then one day, he disappeared. God took him. In Hebrews 11 verse 5, we read, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And nowhere in the Bible do we read anything about Enoch's achievements or his personal qualities or even anything that he did or said. All we know is that this was a man that walked faithfully with God. And if I can only be remembered by one thing in this life, let it not be that I was a good businessman. Let it not be that I was a good family man. Let it not be that I preached well. If I can only be remembered by one thing, let it be that I walked faithfully with God all the days of my life. Now, what is the thing that matters the most to you? If you want to walk with God the way that Enoch did, this needs to be the top priority in your life. The next person we read about is Noah. And unlike Enoch, the Bible does say quite a lot about him. And the first thing that pops to mind is the ark. And it's very easy to miss the brief introduction the Bible has of him. And we see that in Genesis 6 verse 9. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. And that actually sounds a lot like his great-grandfather Enoch. So Noah walked faithfully with God, and he obeyed God when he was asked to do something really insane, like spending decades building this massive wooden box without even understanding things like flood or even rain. In Hebrews 11:7, we read, "By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." So not only was Noah radically obedient, he was also, at that point in time, the only person on the entire planet, the only man that served God in a world that was becoming increasingly wicked. And just think about it. Like, would you be able to continue serving God if no one else does? Now, if the elders come back from the weekend away and they collectively decided they're no longer serving God and they're going to close the church, and if the person sitting to your left and to your right walks out of this building and turn their back on the Lord and everyone else that you know, do you know God well enough for yourself that you would keep on serving Him even if no one else does? And this might seem like an extreme example, and I pray it never happens, but nevertheless, you'll find yourself in places, in situations where maybe you are the only one serving the Lord, maybe at work or school or whatever, and where there are very much, the peer pressures are very real. But if you want to walk with God the way that Noah did, you need to serve God and obey Him, regardless of what the people around you are doing. There's a lot more faith heroes in Hebrews 11, and I'm just going to briefly mention a few more. Now, consider Abraham. That's a man that God refers to as his friend. You see that in Isaiah 41:8. And friends share their hearts and their plans with one another. And there's this interesting passage in Genesis 18 where God is on his way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and then he contemplates, should I share my plan with Abraham? And because of their relationship, not only does God share his plan with Abraham, but he actually gives him scope to reason with him about it. Consider Moses, someone that spoke to God face to face like a man would to his friend. And he would go up to Mount Sinai in the presence of God, and on at least two occasions, for 40 days and 40 nights, Moses didn't eat or drink anything. And I don't believe this was a fast like we know fasting. I think in the presence of God, Moses didn't even experience hunger or thirst. And when he came back and down the mountain, his face was radiating from the glory of God. And consider David, someone that's called a man after God's own heart. You see that in 1 Samuel 13:14. And it wasn't because he was without sin, because he did make some pretty big mistakes. But if you read some of the Psalms that he wrote and you see his heart, you can see that his first priority was always to seek God above all other things. And his main objectives was building God's kingdom, building his house, and being filled with his spirit. And wouldn't you want to walk with God the way that these men did? Now, I spoke a bit about some of the faith heroes in Scripture, and I could say much about some of the faith heroes even in our church. Some of you might have had the privilege to get to know some of our elders and their wives, and you'd be able to testify that these are men and women that has laid down their lives for the kingdom, and they've sacrificed much because they love Jesus and they love His bride, us. Yeah, so why am I sharing all of this with you? I'm hoping this is stirring something in you to also want to walk with God in such a way. Because I think often we read the Scriptures, we read about these five heroes, and we put them on a pedestal up there, and we're like, these are specially chosen people to walk with God like very closely and have this intimate, cool relationship with the Lord. And then maybe a little bit lower is the elders, and they're also specially chosen to have this close relationship with God. And then much lower is you and me, and we're just the normal Christian people. We come to church, we read our Bibles, maybe we pay our tithes faithfully, and then we go on with our lives, we work hard, we support our families, and often we settle for just a watered-down Christianity that consists of just ticking all of these boxes, when actually there's so much more. And the message that I want to give to you today that I felt the Lord has laid on my heart is this. God's desire is to walk with you in the way that He did with these 5 years. It doesn't matter if you're if you have a normal office job like I do, or if you're a stay-at-home mom, or if you're unemployed, or a student, or a gardener, or a cleaner. God desires to have a close, intimate friendship relationship with you. To such a degree that He was willing to lay down His life. In John 15, verse 13 to 15, we read, "Greater love is no one than this, that He lay down His life for His friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." God desires friendship with you. But going back to Hebrews 11 verse 6, do you believe that seeking God, spending time with God, is the most rewarding thing you can do in your life? Is that the top priority? Do you believe that God rewards those that earnestly seek Him? And this reward is not a bigger house. It's not a pay increase or anything like that. It's much better than that. The reward is you get to walk with God the way that these 5 years did. Like Abel, who brought God his best. Like Enoch, who walked faithfully with God. Like Noah, who served God despite being the only person. Like Abraham, the friend of God. Like Moses, the one that spoke to God face to face. Like David, the man after God's own heart. That could be you, each and every one of you. And just imagine what this church would look like if each and every one of us walked with God in such a way. And just imagine how effective we would be for His kingdom. And so I'm going to conclude by providing you with an opportunity to respond to God. Maybe all of us can close our eyes and you can just allow the Lord to speak to you, to speak to your heart. Maybe this morning you feel that the Lord is convicting you. You feel that you're not walking with Him the way that you should. And maybe you're not prioritizing spending time with Him. It's not the top priority in your life. And this morning you can, maybe the Lord is convicting and prompting you to repent of that. The Lord is quick to forgive, and His mercy is on you every day. And He's inviting you into a deeper relationship with Him.